you. And this is a privilege. The church is not for the minister. The minister is for the church. And I don't ever want to get that twisted. It is an awesome privilege that I have to do what I do, what I called to do. Grateful for it, though. I really am. So let me get right into this. I'm going to use Paul, the Apostle Paul. You know, apostle means several things. We don't really understand it a lot. But apostleship was giving to head churches to oversee and to be first in communities, to go in and set something up. I'm not an apostle. We've got one church. I'm a pastor. If we had a lot of churches that came out of that, then God would give me an apostolic ministry to be able to do something like that. But I don't have that. But I believe in that. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. We're not big into prophecy. And I get a little leery, you know. Sometimes the prophetic can be a little bit out there. Take it all the way back to John. He wasn't dressed like anybody. He was dressed with animal skins and a leather belt and a pocket full of crickets in one side and honey in the other. And locusts, I know, I was just calling them crickets. Crickets sounded better. I didn't want to lose anybody. Cicadas. Thought they had no use. Roast one and find out. But but we prophesy in part. So that's, at the very best, it's incomplete. And it leaves, what it causes, though, is it's not like he's trying to mess with it. It leaves a whole lot of room for faith. That's what it leaves, a whole lot of room for faith. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, evangelism, that's the work of all of us. Pastors, teachers, so... but I fit into that pastor role, and I can't get out of it. I asked God to get me out of it, and he didn't. And because they say that there used to be a commercial, the Army was the toughest thing you'll ever love. I beg to differ just a little bit. It might be more physical at times, but you carry a burden for people's souls. That can get heavy, but it's a good heavy. So 2 Corinthians chapter 1, I'm going to go down through verse 14, and then I'm going to hit 2 and start at 14. So 1 through 14, 2, pick up at 14 of 2, and then go through 3:6, and then pick up at 4:1 through 6, and 16 and 18. So have you got that? You ready? Let's go. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God in Corinth, together with all the saints throughout Achaia. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. He's talking to everyone and the leadership. So everyone, including the leadership, said, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles." So there's an expectation. When troubles come, comfort is there. He comforts us in all of our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. So if you will, you go through things to help people through things. And while it's not fun, and while you'll deal with your human side, and you'll say things like I said, when we lost our daughter, some people came along and said, "Well, God's going to use this." Not the thing you want to hear. Just not the thing you want to hear. I don't want God to use this. I want my daughter back. But I've seen many times how God has used that. You see, you got... Verse 5, "For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives. So what he went through, we'll go through. So also Christ, our comfort, overflows. So the comfort that came to him will come to us as well. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort. Now he's talking about his role. If he is distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, he's talking about the other apostles, the disciples. If we are comforted, if we're distressed, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure. So I want you to get that right there, because there's a gospel that is preached that it's at the very least it's incomplete. Because it is a gospel of comfort, and it is a gospel of having stuff. And if you're doing everything you should be doing, then you should be comfortable, and God should be blessing you. Can I tell you that there will be times of that? But if you're going to base it all on whether or not you're getting blessed, that appeals to the flesh. It sounds good. It sounds like, sign me up for that. And a lot of people will respond to that, but a lot of people will also fall away, and God will get the blame for somebody else's lie. Amen. And that will dishearten people and push people away, and it is very wrong. It's not just unfair. It's wrong to talk like that. You're going to have issues come up. Jesus said, in this life, talking about yours, talking about your 70 years, your 80 years, your 20 years, however many years God gives you, in this life you'll have trouble. But take heart, I've overcome this whole world. So that's how we have to live. But he's saying there are some hardships. And he said, I don't want you to be uninformed. There are hardships, and you'll go through them. And we went through great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure. So that right there lets me know, when I've gone as far as I can, that's not the end of it. There's something else, and that's his Holy Spirit. Amen? Y'all are tired today. Christine looked at me a minute ago. She said, they're quiet today. Soak it. Soak, sister, soak. Indeed, in our hearts, we felt the sentence of death. Wow. You realize how strong that is, how powerful that is. I felt it before. I bet you felt it before, too. But this happened. So he said, there was a reason for it. This happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He has, now get this picture right here. He has delivered us, that's past tense, from such a deadly peril. And he will deliver us, that's presently. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us. That's future. Say past, present, future, he's got me. As you help us by your prayers. Your prayers are important. Never believe the enemy's lie that your prayers don't matter. Can I tell you when your prayers matter? When you think to pray, before you ever get to the first word, the fact that you moved and you let your mind go to a place of prayer, and then you've engaged your mind, and you, what you're doing is saying, I'm going to put trust in someone that I've heard about, but I've never seen before. But I believe that they will hear me when I pray. Do you see the power of prayer? He's not basing it on how fancy our words are when we pray. It's when we move to pray. There's an incredible amount of faith that has taken place before your mouth even opens. Do you see that? Billy, I'm glad you see it, and I think Christine saw it. I'm good with the interaction. I told you, y'all make me nervous. I'll talk my way out of it, and I'll be done by 3. Then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answers to the prayers of many. So he's saying that your prayers are going to help activate our prayers. You ever seen somebody pray and it moved you to prayer too? Like, I want in on that. That's a good thing. Now, this is our boast. Our conscience testifies that we have conducted ourselves in the world, and especially in our relationships with you, in the holiness and sincerity that are from God. So what's happened between the apostles and all of the church, it's been something that's been done to reverence God. We have done so not according to worldly wisdom, but according to God's grace. For we do not write you anything you cannot read or understand. And I hope that as you have understood us in part, you will come to understand fully that you can boast of us just as we will boast of you in the day of our Lord Jesus, because I was confident of this. So I want to explain. I said verse 16, but I said 14. So I gave y'all an extra one anyway. No, I didn't. Just so you know, I've been traveling all week and I've been doing wedding things. So I'm tired too this morning. There was proof of it right there. I got in late last night. That's okay. What he's saying was, this is so important that we're doing it for God. But I want you to feel good when you say something good about me. And I want to feel good when I say something about you. Because he's saying, I talk about y'all. And as pastors know, people talk about them too. But I want it to be a good thing. Not because I need it to be a good thing. Because it does not need to be a bad thing. And I don't need to give you anything that you would need to talk bad about me. I need to live a life in front of you. I do. You need to be proud of your pastor. And let me tell you this, and I mean this with all of my heart. If you're not growing in the Lord, you don't need to be proud of your pastor. If you're not growing in the Lord, you need to get your family and get in your car, even right now before it's over with someplace else, and you need to get there and get fed something that'll help you grow. Now, I could break getting fed down. There's reasons that some folks don't get fed. You blame it on the pastor, but you want me to come on? Y'all ready for ouch? Here it is. The Bible says this about tithe, and I don't talk much about tithe, so when I do, it needs to be powerful, so here it comes. The Bible says this about tithe, and I'm not saying this because we're in trouble financially. I promise you, we're not, because of the faithfulness of this church. But it says this about tithe. It says, bring the tithe into the storehouse. So that it'll be full. In other words, I mean, you take money and you put it in your bank and you deposit it, right? Why? Because one day you're going to want to make a withdrawal, right? But show up now with no account or even with an account. Let's say you got an account, but you opened it. All you did was open it, but you never put anything in there. Show up and ask for something back. They'll look at you and say, your balance is nada, and we ain't giving you nothing. You might can go talk to our credit department. I hope you're not living on credit with that. Because if you are, let me tell you this. This pastor right here will become in your mouth, and this church will be a place. It'll be a main direct hit on me that I don't get fed there from Pastor John. I don't get fed whenever he preaches. Let me tell you, if you don't tithe, it's going to be impossible for you to get fed. Because tithing produces a storehouse. Not for me, for you. And you'll never get anything out of the storehouse if there's nothing in the storehouse. It'll continue to be a blank room. Now, you can walk around. You can go from church to church to church and try to find some storehouse. Same thing will happen if you go from bank to bank to bank. Same answer for you. Y'all asked for it, so I told you. That's what the scripture says. There remains no storehouse for you. But I'll get the blame for it. I don't get fed there anymore. That's why when people, I didn't start doing this last week, but when people come in and like, if that, it is possible that they weren't getting fed. But if you come in blasting another pastor, I just know this. It's like the DMV. I just took a number. And my blasting is coming soon. I don't expect a pastor to be somebody that he can't be. And Paul is basically saying, we don't wear capes. And we haven't worn a cape in front of you to be super. I may have told you this, but I learned through my dad, who was a minister. 2 weeks before he died, he was eating, being eaten and wasting away with cancer. He was a big man like Bill. Bill, are you 6'4"? Your size, your stature reminds me of my dad. It's like almost perfect. My dad was 6'4", but he wasted down to about 120 pounds. I'm not going to ask you how much he weighed, Bill, but it's not near 120. And to see my dad do that, but then for him to think of his duties, like this is how it would go. It's Pastor Appreciation Sunday. I'm going to talk about my dad. Middle of the night, get one of them pastoral calls. And this is what my dad would do. Hello. Hello, hello, hello. This is on his way to the phone. Hello, 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 hello. Then he'd pick it up. He'd say, hello, in the middle of the night. Like he was up all night. Like he was ready to go, but he felt the pressure that he needed to be ready to perform. Y'all call me. I'm be like, hello. Hello, what? Y'all, you must be wanting to go fishing or something. You call me. It's ridiculous, man. Now, I'll do my best. But I'm not faking that. That's wrong. I like to sleep like y'all like to sleep. If you need me, you call me. But I saw my dad for the last few months of his life. Y'all remember what a sweatsuit was? Remember them sweatsuits? He wore that underneath his Sunday suit to look like he had some weight. He grew a beard out to cover the bone structure of his face. I carried my dad. He had enough strength. He couldn't sit down, so he was able to preach a funeral 2 weeks before he died, him as good as dead, standing there. He waited till everybody left, and I went, and I got my dad like that, and I carried my dad out into the parking lot and put him in the car and drove him around the corner to the church parsonage. That was wrong for him to feel like he needed to put a cape on in front of people and to always be at the ready. We need to be instant in season, but not. It was his time for people to gather on him and pray for his healing. And give me a break, man. chapter 2 down to verse 14. Let's go there. But thanks be to God. Now Paul is talking about a lot of things, and a lot of things is going on. And I wanted to come. And I mean, he always had the people in his heart. I wanted to come and I wanted to speak to you, but you are the people that encouraged me. But I had such a strong word for you, I didn't want to be there as the guy that blasted you and then needed encouragement for you. That's what he talks about right there. It's incredible that the relationship that he had, that he could talk to them like that, and he could write them letters. Paul could, they said that he was just a little hunched over man and probably as ugly as he could be and couldn't see, and he talked about that and couldn't write, had to have somebody write for him. He said, you see what big letters I'm writing in with my own handwriting? He was on the struggle bus like crazy. So he wasn't much to look at, but he said this, I'll write y'all a letter and I'll straighten things out with this letter, so that when I get there, I will not have to fix what I think I'm going to have to fix when I get there. Paul didn't play. But he loved them. And he proved his love for them. So he had that kind of voice into their lives. And there was no pretension, because it was unnecessary. So he said this, but verse 14 of chapter 2, but thanks be to God who always leads us in triumphal procession in Christ, and through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of him. Imagine the power of coming into the room. Have you ever? Now I have. I've been in the room when I've smelled pretty perfume come by, and that cheap Walmart stuff, whoa, mixed in kerosene and y'all smelled it too. Come on now. But imagine the presence of God being on you, that you have the fragrance of God on you when you come into a place. Paul's shadow would fall on people and they would get healed. I believe this word. I believe it. I believe what it said. For we, now he's back to it, for we are to God the aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one, we are the smell of death. To the other, the fragrance of life. And who is equal to such a task? Unlike so many, we do not peddle the word of God for profit. On the contrary, in Christ, we speak before God with sincerity, like men sent from God. Are we beginning to commend ourselves again, or do we, like some people, need letters of recommendation to you or from you? Listen to this. You yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts, known and read by everybody. That's like a Hallmark card. You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Such confidence as this is ours through Christ Jesus before God. Not that we are competent in ourselves to claim anything for ourselves, but our competence comes from God. He has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. He said this. There's like a companion to scripture to this in Philippians. I'm just going to read it to you. 1 and 3, verse 7. He said, 3 through 7, he said, I thank my God every time I remember you. Talking to the people of Philippi, remember, he's an apostle. He's got churches everywhere. Now, this is what he's saying to a different group. He's talking to the church at Corinth there, and now he's talking to the ones in Philippians. He said, I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership. He's saying, we're in this together. Our partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. He said this to his congregation. He said, I have you in my heart. And his life proved that he had them in his heart. That's just such a beautiful thing to me. So what's going on? There's a partnership that takes place. He said, I'm thankful for the partnership. I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for the partnership. He said, I'm thankful for the God that is in work in us. Us. That I just read, that was Philippians 1, 3 through 7. Let me pick up in chapter 4. Let's go 1 through 6, and then we're going to hit 16 and 18. Therefore, so all that to this. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. I love that. We do not preach ourselves. I said that the church, the ministry, what I do is for you. You're not for me. This church doesn't exist so Pastor John can have a platform and can get famous and somebody will hear him one day and the church will take off and be this great thing so John can be exalted. There are plenty of places right now, I promise you. If they were given the choice of Jesus Christ coming and taking the pulpit, or their pastor, would say, I'd rather hear my pastor today. That's wrong. That's wrong. We do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts, to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Skip down to verse 16. I hate to skip it because it's so good. It talks about the pain. It talks about, yes, we're hard-pressed, but we're not crushed. So if we're not careful, we'll let our human side get stuck on the pressing that's going on. He said, yeah, we're pressed, but we're not crushed. I love it. I want to focus on the not crushed. You are not crushed today. If you're feeling pressure, thank God for that. That means the enemy's upset about it. You must be doing something right. Not in despair. We're perplexed. Yes, there's perplexing things. Turn your TV on. Watch any news channel. You'll get perplexed. Yes, you will. But not in despair. Come on. Don't let them talk you into being in despair over an election. I'm going to vote for somebody. You need to vote for somebody. I'm voting for Israel, by the way. I'm voting for the fewest amount of babies to be killed through foolishness and bad decisions. If it's my choice, have the choice before you ever get to that choice. Oh, let me apologize. There I go with common sense again. I'm sorry. Some people are AD or BC. I'm CS, common sense. So I know I'm out of time. But I'm not in despair, and I'm not going to let anything make me be in despair, regardless of who gets chosen for president. Regardless of who gets, and whoever gets, I'm going to pray for them because the Bible says to pray for them. Because they need prayer. Whoever gets in office, they need prayer. I'm going to put it right up there with school lunch. This is what I used to say about school lunch. You know why I prayed over my school lunch? My school lunch needed prayer. You liked that one, didn't you? Y'all remember school lunch days. Now they don't. Now it's like, yeah, everybody needs prayer. But them school lunches needed some prayer. Sherry. You're going to get me. We're going to have to cut out early today talking about peanuts, butter, fudge. Here we go. Not in despair. I am not in despair. You're not going to put me. You might perplex me, but because of who I am in Christ, I refuse to be in despair. I got a king. I am not. I'm a citizen of the United States, yes, but my true citizenship is in heaven. I belong to a kingdom. I'm getting to my ending. Let me just hit a couple of these. Persecuted. Let me say this about the United States, about persecution. Bless our little hearts. I am so sorry somebody kicked mud on your new shoes. But we are not persecuted. It could come. But this scripture, we should avoid this scripture in the United States if we think, oh, I'm just so persecuted. No, you're not. Quit being a baby. You're not. And thank God you're not persecuted. And while you're not being persecuted, pray for somebody that is. Look up Voice of the Martyrs and tell me somebody that's persecuted. Look at somebody who used to have a church to go to and it's burned to the ground now. Look at their pastor who got his teeth kicked in or he's dead. That's who's persecuted. You're not. Let me tell you who's persecuted. You're not. Somebody might be, but you're not. How about that? I feel like I'm on the playground. You're not. You're not. You remember you tried to make that? You remember when you knew you could beat them up and you was trying to get them to swing? You're not. No, you're not. I was an annoying little cuss, I'm telling you. But you're not persecuted. And if you were persecuted, you wouldn't be abandoned. Struck down. Give me a break. Not destroyed. That's for some folks right there. And I'm thankful for that scripture for them. And I might need that. We might need that scripture one day. And it's there if we need it. Go down to verse 16 now. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles. I love the emphasis that he gives our troubles. He categorizes what seems so big to us. He says they are light and they are momentary. And I'm not trying to belittle what you're going through. I'm just trying to get our shift from the human way of looking at it to the spiritual way of looking at it. Because when I look at it as a human, I'm like, God, where are you? And he's like, what you're going through is light and momentary. For your light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Can you tell you what God is trying to do with your troubles? Can I tell you what God is trying to get you to see about your troubles? When troubles come your way, God takes those troubles and he puts them on his payroll. Is that a better way to look at it? And he said it's achieving something. Now I admit this. Some of you have been going through something so long that it's on payroll, but get this, it's drawing interest. Does that make you feel better? That there's something that's got to be good coming out of this. And that's what you got to put your faith on. It says, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. And that's a hard hop for the human brain to go to take my mind off of what is seen. It's hard for me to pull my eyes away from what is seen and shift to the unseen, but that's the instruction because of who we are in Christ. And if we're ever going to grow up in Christ, we got to start looking like we're growing up in Him. Everything can't bother us. Everything's not a prayer request. I dare you to start off some of your prayer request prayers with thanksgiving instead. God, I thank you that this crazy thing is coming up and you're the God of this crazy thing. That sounds too fluffy. I'm sorry. But you know what I mean. So what he's saying right here, and I want to get this and I'm going to close. So that means we got at least 30 minutes to go. No, I'm kidding. You're closer to closing than you were. How about that? So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. I want you to get this. There is something inside of us that needs a satisfaction. When something happens in our life, we need a satisfaction point for it. Okay? So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. So there's a temporary and there is an eternal. So for every quest, there needs to be a satisfaction. Does that make sense? So every time there's something going on, there's an answer out there that we need. And he's given us some real help right here. He said, you're getting focused in on the temporary, but what I need you to see is eternal. And it's going to take faith. And it's going to take a divorce from what you see so that your eyes will be open to look at what. It takes faith. But I want you to get a better picture of that. So when we have pain, we are not satisfied until a relief of pain comes, right? When we're alone, we are not satisfied until we have some company come along, right? When there is a question, we're not good with it until we get an answer to the question. Are you tracking? When there's an unsolved mystery, I refuse to watch unsolved mysteries. They make me mad. I'm like, I spend an hour, and then at the end, like, well, we still don't know. We hope that if you have any clues, if you know anything, if you'll call into this line, I'm like, I just watched that whole thing, and it doesn't resolve. Like, there's an hour I don't get back out of my life right there. They should solve all they should bring cold cases out. Brack, that's a platform I'd run on. I'm bringing cold cases back. We're going to solve them. Anyway, when there's an unsolved mystery, we need a solved conclusion. Right? Still tracking with me? When there's hunger, we have food to satisfy, right? Cup the ears of the smaller ones. When there are sexual desires, what fixes it? Yeah, you know. We have a romance, but we have romance because we have a forever love that we're desiring to find. Do you see that? I'm giving you with something that has a conclusion to the end of it. So this is the point I'm trying to... When there's a craving, there needs to be a fulfillment for that, right? The Bible says this, hope deferred maketh the heart sick. Doesn't it say that? And in our lives, we have this communion that stirs up inside of us, being a human, being on this earth. There's a relationship that we come into with God, and we want. I'm always wanting more. Are you still wanting more of God? But there's a fulfillment to that one, that the proof that it's there is that I haven't gotten there yet. Does that make sense to you? That's a deep thing. That's a deep thing. That there's more of Him, but there's something past this, and He's trying to get us to see it right here. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. So in other words, for all this stuff on earth, there's a fix for it. You can find a satisfaction point. But there's something inside me that will continue to hunger and hunger and hunger for Him until I am home with Him. That's what I need to fix my eyes on. There's something about Him that's not like anything else here on this earth. And that's what He's talking about right there. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 11, it says, He has put eternity in our hearts. That's what I'm talking about. And that's what we need to get a focus on. When I'm going through something, this isn't all it. There's going to be some good times, there's going to be some bad times. A lot of things I'm going to get an answer to, but there's going to be some things I don't. And then I need to look on those things and say, is it temporary? Is it eternal? I am a case with God. I'm looking for Him to solve me one day completely. And I'll be in His presence on that day. Until that day comes, there's still work to be done right here. I can never get satisfied because I'm not satisfied. There's more. Are you just completely satisfied, Deanna? Is there something more that you want? Yeah. Scott, is there anything more you want in God? Yeah. Yeah. Tiffany, anything? Miss... You're nice and warm over here. I'm sorry. Do you know that people used that this morning before you got here? It should have been warm when you got here. Somebody said, I got to get Miss Shirley's little shawl before we get the air right. It was 60 degrees when he got here this morning. Yeah, come early. We'll freeze you up and keep you a while. Christine, will you come, babe? I'm shocked. My in closing lasted about 7 minutes. I just want you to know what an honor and a privilege it is for us to do what we do, to be your pastors, that we love you guys. That's not just a call. You know if we love you or not. I'm just telling you what I hope you know is that we love you. What an incredible privilege. But we're in this together. We're in this together. And who you are outside of this building needs to be just as powerful as who you are on Sunday mornings. There doesn't need to be a diminishing of it. I said earlier about the enemy trying to throw stuff on you. That's life. We come here and shake it off and celebrate that it didn't stick. But I'm so grateful for every one of you. It's an awesome privilege to get to do this. We're in this together. We're going to see the glory of the Lord. And I'm inviting you. Sometimes we can think we're so far off track and it's really just a little bitty tweak. It's just the tiniest tweak. And I just want to encourage you, if you're stuck on the temporary this morning, get that off of your radar. Trust Him with the temporary like you trust Him with the eternal. He's got the big picture, and it includes all the little stuff. And it includes the big thing of your light and momentary affliction, because that's hard to let faith let you see it that way. But in the grand scheme of things, it is light. In the grand scheme of things, it is temporary. So even let that push aside so that you can see the glory of the Lord and you can see that He's working on me. And there is a satisfaction in Him. It's not like anything else. I will have all of that fullness one day. But for right now, I'm going to let my faith move to that. Amen. Father,